Are we having more demonstrations today?
I know, I'll just put it in.
Oh, okay.
I won't spill any more water.
We had a bit of fun. You're good? Yeah, please. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. So thank you, Zoe, for the welcome, and thank you, Ben and Sarah, for just welcoming me into the church and just giving me the opportunity and the honour to share. And it's just a real privilege. Ben and Sarah haven't met me before, and just entrusting their flock to me this morning. So yeah, thank you for that privilege, and I just pray that you are blessed as I speak and share today. So, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Ko British Queen te waka, ko porongia te monga, ko Waikato te awa, ko Green te hapu, ko Cliff Life Church te marae, ko Kylie Martin tuku inua. So I hail from good British stock, so joy is not the natural for me. I grew up in the Waikato, so Porongia, and Waikato River is my awa, from the green stock, and I fellowship at Cliff Life Church, AOG Church out in Castle Cliff, out by the beach in Whanganui. And my name is Kylie Martin. My husband and I have been living in Whanganui for about 18 years, I think it is, or 15, I can't remember. We've been married for 22 years, and we have two beautiful kids, Pieta, who's 13, and a little boy, red-headed, strong, energetic, 7.5-year-old. We got the photo up there? Yeah, there's the crazy guys. They're very cool, and I miss them lots. All right. So I hear that you have been doing a series on the kingdom of God. Yes. Yep. And Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So I have the privilege to speak about joy. And like Zoe said, I've written a book about it, released it in April, called Unlimited Joy, Accessing All That Is Promised. And so I've been on this journey of the Lord showing me that there is far more joy in the kingdom than I had currently been accessing. And so it was just an invitation that there is more for each one of you. I've got a book here to give away. This is really a book of some of my husband's and my story of difficulty. And it's our testimony of how the Holy Spirit is poured out into us, how he's shown up. And then I had lots of questions about joy, and just Holy Spirit took me on a journey and took me into the Word to study, and then I answered my own questions. And so, yeah, it's a mix of that. So I just really wanted to give away a copy today. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit who I should give it to. Hi, Kelly. Actually, I'm going to give it to, was it Brooke or, no, eh? You're Brooke. So I pray blessings on you. So just say, what has God to say? Oh, breaker anointing. Yeah, I just, declare a breaker anointing over you. And you, as you step out into new calling and new ministry and new mentoring, you're going to break things in people's lives. You're going to create shift in people's lives. And you're going to be a destiny changer. Ooh, I feel the Lord on that. Bless you. Ooh, the Lord is here. It's good. It's good. Whew, have a drink. So as I was preparing of asking the Lord what to bring to you this morning, you know, I've been studying this joy thing for the last 3 years, and so it's like there's so many different ideas. But one of the scriptures that I landed on was in Acts 13:52, and it says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Yeah, it's good. But it gets even better. In the NASB, which is a word-for-word translation, it's better than the NIV, even though I've got an NIV because I haven't upgraded my Bible yet, it says, "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." That verse is just such an inspiration to me. You know, that we can be continually filled with joy, continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a something you do on a Sunday when you come to church. It can be continually through the week, each day, just as you connect with Him and as He pours into you. You know, imagine what that would look like if we were people who walked in the continual joy with the Holy Spirit. If we carried, you know, some people say that joy is a third of the kingdom. Righteousness and peace of joy are the kingdom. So imagine we're carrying a third of the kingdom and the effect that it would have wherever we went. This verse, it kind of conjures up questions in my mind, and I think, what's it look like? How do we express it? And how can we get that now? And so I felt prompted to start studying Acts and have a look for any examples of where Holy Spirit and joy were connected in this book. And it was really interesting what the Lord showed me. And it was a story that I'd read many times before, and I hadn't actually ever associated with joy. And as I read it, I was just like, wow, that is cool. So I'm excited to share it with you. So if you aren't too familiar with the book of Acts, basically, it's written after the death of Jesus and after He has shown Himself to the disciples and He's gone back to heaven. And it's the expansion of the church through the disciples, beginning in Jerusalem and then spreading out through the Roman Empire. And so it really starts with them just recapping about Jesus, showing Himself to the disciples, and how He said that the Holy Spirit would come, and that they would receive His power. And so that happens in Acts 2 at Pentecost, when the tongues of like fire land on the disciples, and they speak in tongues. They're filled with power and with boldness. Many people are saved, and there's salvations. There's signs and wonders, and there's healings. And so, a few chapters later in Acts 4:33, I notice this thing. And it says, "And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." And abundant grace was upon them all. You know, at face value, that might not look like a scripture about joy, but with my studies of writing about joy and reading about joy, I had found that that word grace, its root word is the word kairo, which means to rejoice, to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well off, to thrive, to be calmly happy, or just to be well off, to be well. Yeah. So the root word for this grace is rejoice. And if anyone used the Blue Letter Bible app, If you haven't got it and you love studying the Word, get it. Download the Blue Letter Bible app. You can look at the different words in the Hebrew and the Greek, and it brings so much more revelation to the Word. You know, our English language is very kind of narrow, where the Hebrew and Greek words, there's much bigger pictures. So I'll just give you a few definitions of this word grace. So there's grace of speech. There's favor. That's often one that we think about when we think about grace on people. And then there's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in our lives. So the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in our lives. But the first biblical usage of grace in the Blue Letter Bible says that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. So stop and think about that. The apostles, they were filled. They had abundant grace. Abundant grace that affords joy in their lives. And that word abundant, it's megas. Megas. Mega. So think about mega grace. Mega amounts of joy. The ability for joy in their lives. Cool, eh? I was telling someone about this verse and I was excited. And I was like, oh, look what I found in the Word. It's talking about abundant, mega, just overflowing grace and joy. And they responded, yeah, Book of Acts, that's a powerful, powerful book. It was powerful times back then. I'm like, you don't get it. I'm like, we've got the Holy Spirit, the same as the apostles. And so that mega abundant grace that allows joy in our lives is available for us today too. Yeah, so good, hey? Now let me jump to Acts 6. And so this is when, the disciples had been out, they'd been preaching the word, there'd been mass salvations, many people joining the church, and they needed some help. This might be a key for you with picking your kaitiaki, Ben. It says, so they chose 7 men who were full of the Spirit in wisdom. Look for the Spirit, look for them full of the Spirit. And so it says in verse 5, it says they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pick up now in Acts 6. Actually, open my Bible. I love my Bible. And so we're just going to look for a grace over Stephen and a grace and joy, abundant joy. As we read. So I'm just going to pick up on, verse 5, it says that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's one sign of grace there. He had favor. He had favor. He was actually chosen out of how many hundreds of people he was chosen to be a disciple. And pick up in verse 8, it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedman, as it was called, the Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia. Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. There's some water. Get so dry when I speak. They began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. It's another sign of grace on him. He had the grace of speech. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "You have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words about Moses and about God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen. Now, other translations say that they couldn't take their eyes off Stephen, that they were fixated on him as he spoke, and this is why. And they saw that his face was like the face of an angel, that he had the countenance of an angel. You know, Proverbs 15:13 says that a joyful heart makes a cheerful countenance. So as we have joy in our hearts, have grace that pours out joy, it changes our countenance. And I just wonder, is this picture, this face of an angel, is that a picture of mega grace? Mega abundant grace that allows joy in our lives, that it would overflow, that his face would radiate. You know, in the Jewish practices in mourning, when they had ashes, they put ashes in their hair to show that they were in mourning. They would then, when the mourning period would finish, they would wash and they would use oil to help get the ashes out of their hair. And it would cause their face to shine. It would cause their face, their hair to shine. And it's like when the Lord, the Spirit, pours out his oil of joy, his oil of gladness on us, that it would cause a change in our countenance and our face would shine. It's funny, after 2 years of being away, I came back to New Zealand. And it was funny because I'd been in America where they've got really bad food and I'd been studying for 2 years and I'd actually put on a little bit of weight and was feeling a bit aware of it, but people were like, "Wow, you're looking amazing. You're looking radiant. Have you lost weight? Or there's something different about you?" And the only answer that I had was that it was the joy of the Lord that had changed my countenance, made my face radiant. It wasn't anything that I had done. Yeah, I definitely hadn't lost weight. So I wonder, is this a picture of this abundant grace through the Holy Spirit that just allows abundance, overflow of joy, and it changes our countenance? Now, for the next 53 verses, which I won't read to you for time's sake and because I keep fumbling over my words, but he spoke boldly to the Sanhedrin. You know, the Sanhedrin, they were a sector of the Jews, so they knew the Torah. But he told them the history of Israel, and how they had continued blessings given by the Lord, and they rejected the Lord time and time again. And he finishes off calling them a stiff-necked people, just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit and called them murderers of the righteous one. He was very bold. He had that grace on him for boldness. And obviously they didn't like that. They gnashed their teeth at him and and they drove him out. But here, let's read what his response was. And I think this is just such a picture of grace and joy in his life. Let's find it. Over here. So when the members of the Sanhedrin, so this is verse 54, heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears. I think they saw his face. They didn't want to hear what he was saying because they knew it was true. And yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man called Saul. Get that? They took their coats off because they didn't want to get covered in blood while they were stoning this man. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. You know, is this a picture of joy? You know, they talk about the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That in persecution, you can have the joy of the Lord overflowing. You know, Stephen was strong in this time. When he is being rushed, when he's being pushed out of town, when he's being stoned, and what our natural response would be to cower and fear and worry and concern for ourselves. But what did he do? He looked to heaven. He looked to Jesus. And then what a gift and strength and joy is that he blessed the people that were killing him and said, "Forgive them of their sins." I think that this is a true picture of joy. It might not seem like it, but it's a true picture of joy that you have that much strength inside you that you can bless others, that you can stand in strength and not run away from the difficult stuff that God gives you to do. You know, I wonder if that's the picture of 2 Corinthians 8:2, where it says that they overflowed. Let me get it so I don't muck it up. It says that in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And what I noticed when I was thinking of that verse, I actually noticed the verse before it, and it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." God had given them grace in order that in a severe trial, that their overflowing joy, even amongst poverty, that they were able to well up in rich generosity. Whew, that's good. Oh, to be generous when we're in trial, to have the strength and the joy to overflow, even if we're in the midst of a trial, that we can overflow to others of encouragement, thinking about their souls too. Now, did you notice who was present in that story? Right near the end, Saul, the prosecutor of the Christians who 2 chapters later met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he became Paul, the most prolific writer in the New Testament, the one who wrote over and over about the grace of God and the joy, who frequently instructed us to rejoice in the Lord in all circumstances. Now, if you keep reading in Acts, you'll see that after he'd had this encounter with the Lord, Ananias went and prayed for Paul, laid hands on him and filled him with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas then trained him up, and the disciples laid hands on them and filled them with the Holy Spirit. He was part of the disciples in Acts 13:52 who were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And they laid hands on the Gentiles to also fill them. If you keep looking, you'll see there's times where the Holy Spirit comforted them. How? Through joy. through joy. That's how he comforts. And they were reliant on the Holy Spirit for their strength. You know, I just wonder, did Paul reflect on what had happened when Stephen was killed? He was there observing. He saw the face of Stephen. He heard the grace, and he probably, after his encounter with the Lord, understood. And was this what caused him to speak about joy and about grace frequently? You know, growing up in the church, I've read the writings of Paul. I've memorized these scriptures, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in all circumstances. You know, to the level that you're being persecuted, rejoice to that level. You know, we get told to do these things. That during, it wasn't Paul who said it, but James, you know, count it all pure joy when you're in trials and perseverance, because you'll have perseverance and endurance and maturity, and there'll be nothing lacking. And we get told to do these things. We're told, you know, in the Christian life, religion will tell us to choose joy. Choose joy, that we should do these things. You know, about 15 years ago, my husband and I mentioned yesterday a little bit of our journey. We were going through horrendous trials for about 15 years. My husband had an injury with his back. He was in and out of hospital, in chronic pain, terribly depressed, surgery after surgery. I had my own problems. I had endometriosis. We had infertility. It took us 9 years to have our first daughter and 6 more to have our second. And you know, I remember there was one period of time where there was 8 weeks in a row that I heard of 8 people having babies. And man, you know, I was happy for them. One was my sister, one was my close friend, one was another close friend. But then it was even people who had finished having babies who were having another one. And then single people who weren't even, supposed to be having babies who had babies. And I'm just like, you know, I had no joy in me to release. I had no strength. You know, you would try to rejoice in the Lord. I would try to live in thanksgiving. I would try to be grateful, but I was sad and I was grieved and I was a bit angry at times, and I felt overlooked and I questioned God. It really tested my faith, and I challenged God whether he was even there, whether he was even real, whether the words of the Bible that is for me and not against me, whether that was real or not. The thing with these verses, when Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, when he said to rejoice in all circumstances, when he said to rejoice the degree that you suffer, wasn't supposed to ever be taught separate from the Holy Spirit. It was always supposed to be through the empowering grace and strength and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeah, religion will give us a set of rules. It'll have a list of shoulds that we should do. But relationship with the Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the ability and the power and the joy to do it. They all hang out together. You know, I think back to those years when I was in the middle of that, and I know that I grew. I knew that my relationship really deepened with the Lord, but I wish that I had the revelation of what I knew now. I wish someone had told me how to rejoice in the Lord. How to rejoice in the Lord. You know, King David in Psalm 30, he said, you, Lord, you removed my sackcloth of mourning, and you clothed me in joy that I may praise you. We get the gift of joy that we may praise him. And do you know when David, King David wrote that. It was when he had sinned and it caused 70,000 men to be killed from his kingdom. Imagine the grief and the pain and the regret and the weight of that, that 70,000 people were killed because of his sin. If that's not a garment of heaviness, I don't know what is. Yet the Lord removed that garment of heaviness and wrapped him in his joy. And his response was that he praised the Lord. You know, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what we do in the natural, what we try and do in our own physical strength. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether you want to come up, someone from the music team to play something. Is that right, Ben? You know, it's in the Holy Spirit, in his presence, in his power, in his mega, abundant, overflowing grace, the thing that affords your joy, the thing that allows your joy. You don't need to choose joy. You don't need to do joy in your own strength. Now, I want to invite you today, if you want to be filled with joy, if you want the Lord to take away your garment of heaviness, or if you want to do things not in your own strength, but his, or if you just want an outpouring of this abundant grace to get through trials, then I just want to invite you to stand. Invite you to stand. You know, and you know, Paul and the disciples, they used to lay hands to share the Holy Spirit and to fill people with the Holy Spirit. And Paul used to speak and write grace over people. So I just invite you, stand up if you want that infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you want laid hands on this morning, I just invite you to come up the front. And then I just want to, and the ministry team can come and we can just lay hands and ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of his abundant grace, him to wrap you in joy and speak grace to you.
So good. Joyful tears are running down my face. I don't know if you felt that moment when Holy Spirit just landed in the space and the joy. Thank you so much for that invitation, Kylie. I think as we'll just sit in this moment and Ben will just play some words. And I think as Kylie said, let's lay hands. You can come forward or you can just even reach out to the person next to you and say, hey, just, you know, I'm ready to receive that. Receive that infilling of grace. Grace over you. We'll just take a moment sitting there.